Welcome to the DrDavidMarlin.com Stable Science Podcast. I'm Dr. David Marlin, and along with a great team of experts, I'm helping horse owners and riders achieve optimal performance for their much-loved horses. In these podcasts, we will discuss science-led research, technology, information, and advice to help you care for your horses so they may live healthier, happier, and longer lives. To support the podcast and all our research and science for horses, go to our website, www.drdavidmarlin.com. And to learn more about what we do and the hot topics under discussion, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi there. In this podcast, I want to talk about sugar and starch. Are they always bad for horses? Because sugar and starch are everywhere in our horses' diets. So, of course, even grass can be a source of sugar and starch. And in fact, horses might struggle on a zero sugar and zero starch diet, which is good news because it actually would be almost impossible to achieve. We can have low sugar and starch diets, but to eliminate them completely is going to be pretty much impossible. And part of the problem with sugar and starch is also not just the fact that it's there, it's how it's fed, especially when we're talking about concentrate feeds, or grains. So a horse eating grass or hay with a moderate sugar or starch content over the course of several hours is going to cope much better from a metabolic perspective than if the same volume of sugar and starch were given in one go in a hard feed or a sort of oats or maize or even corn. So because that could be eaten in as little as 10 minutes. So before we go much further, I think a little explanation of some of the terminology might help here. So sugar and starch are two forms of carbohydrates. And sugar actually isn't one single compound, but it's a general term which includes, for example, glucose, fructose, which is often referred to as fruit sugar, and galactose. And these are known as monosaccharides or sometimes simple sugars. Now, there are other sugars known as disaccharides, and those are formed of two monosaccharides joined together. So examples of disaccharides include sucrose, which is a glucose joined to a fructose. And it's probably the most common sugar that we are used to, which we buy for putting in tea, coffee, cooking, etc. Then there's lactose, which is a glucose joined to a galactose monosaccharide, which may also be referred to as dairy sugar or milk sugar, and only occurs naturally in the milk produced by mammals. And then we've got maltose, which is glucose joined to glucose. Now, Any mono or disaccharides are completely digested and absorbed in the horse's small intestine, the part of the digestive tract immediately after the stomach. And this actually consists of three sections known as the duodenum, the jejunum, and the ileum. Now, there are two other types of carbohydrates the horse might also encounter in its diet, which aren't strictly sugars, and these are short-chain polysaccharides, oligosaccharides and fructooligosaccharides, FOS, you may have seen those in prebiotics, and fructans. So FOS are often included in feeds or supplements. As we've already said, they can be prebiotics, which are non-living compounds that can be used by good bacteria in the hindgut as a source of energy. Fructans, unfortunately, are not so good because these can pass to the hindgut undigested, where they are then fermented by bacteria and they increase the acidity in the hindgut. And high fructan intake is believed to play a role in laminitis, but actually there's still some conflicting views on this. Some additional terminology I don't want to do too much, but I think it's important for horse owners to understand, and many are focused or already looking at this, especially if they have horses with particular problems with carbohydrates, and this is WSC, or water-soluble carbohydrates. And the other one is NSC, which is non-structural carbohydrates. Now, WSC are simple sugars, monosaccharides, complex sugars, disaccharides, short-chain polysaccharides, oligosaccharides and fructooligosaccharides, and fructans, which, as the term implies, these are all soluble in water. So if a sample of hay is soaked in water, the amounts of these present are expressed as WSC content. The next term to have a look at is this NSC, non-structural carbohydrates, and this is normally defined as water-soluble carbohydrates plus starch. Now, starch is how plants store glucose produced by photosynthesis for use at a later time to generate energy. And the starch is stored within all living cells in the horse's body, with the exception of red blood cells, which can only use glucose, and the brain, of course, which can use glucose only, but also ketones if blood sugar levels drop too low. Ketones are actually made by the breakdown of fat in the liver and, of course, transported to the brain in the circulation in the blood. So when a horse eats plants or grains or fruits with starch in, the starch is broken down, hopefully in the small intestine. And starch is broken down by the enzyme amylase. There is a little bit of amylase in saliva, but in the horse, not actually very much. The most of the amylase is produced predominantly in the wall of the small intestine and to a lesser extent by the pancreas. So unlike sugars, starch is often not fully digested in the small intestine. And this can be due to factors such as very large meals or too rapid movement down the esophagus and stomach and into the small intestine and then pass and into the hindgut. And this commonly occurs if forage is not provided before grains or hard feeds are fed. So is this an issue? Well, yes, it is, because if undigested starch reaches the hindgut, it can then be fermented by certain species of bacteria, leading to colic. So when starch or sugars have been fully digested, they in the small intestine, they are absorbed and taken into the bloodstream. Here, they're transported and taken up by muscle and the liver in particular, but essentially all living cells are either used immediately for energy or stored as glycogen. Now, this is with the exceptions we previously mentioned, red blood cells and the brain, which use the glucose immediately and don't store glycogen. Glycogen is the animal form of starch. Just like starch, glycogen is made up of glucose units joined together, although in a different pattern to starch, and hence why they don't have the same name. At this point, I think it's also important to clarify some aspects about storage of glycogen. Why does the horse need to make glycogen? Why can't the horse just store glucose units ready to use? Well, The fact is that glucose is actually a very small molecule and can easily move in and out of the cells. Glycogen, on the other hand, is a very large molecule composed of thousands of glucose units, and so it's trapped within the cell. It's too large to pass through the membrane. Now, around 90% of a horse's body stores of glycogen are actually stored within muscle cells, because when the horse starts to exercise, the main source of energy breakdown is of glycogen to provide glucose, which in turn produces ATP. So we can think of glycogen as being coal or gas used to generate electricity, and electricity being the equivalent of ATP. You can't make a bulb light with coal, and you can't make muscles contract with glycogen or glucose. The other 10% of the horse's body stores of glycogen are actually within the liver, and the liver continuously breaks down glycogen to produce glucose to try and keep the blood glucose level within a fairly narrow range. Interestingly, although many horse owners have seen articles demonising starch, it actually does have some advantages. So humans actually switching to eat starch-based carbohydrates as well as meat is recognised as a major factor in the evolution of human brain capacity. So while sugar and glycogen are important for energy, fats or oils are also important sources of energy. And in times of starvation, the body will break down protein to provide energy as a last resort. But essentially, for any equine activity, whether it's a 100-mile endurance race or a 5-furlong sprint, a dressage test or a show jumping round, when it comes to energy, it's never fat that is the limiting factor as an energy source. It's always glycogen. And when it comes to speed, the more glycogen you have stored in your muscles, the faster it can be broken down to produce glucose and the better the performance. And starch intake has also been shown to be related to the amount of glycogen stored in horse muscle. So on a low sugar and low starch diet, horses have actually been shown to have lower levels of muscle glycogen. And this is not really surprising, as glycogen is made from glucose. And in fact, we have some articles on the website. One in particular is Why Some Horses Need Starch, which goes into this in a lot more detail. So at lower level, it won't be potentially a concern, lower level of competition. But if you're competing at medium to higher level, especially if you're competing over events that last several days, glycogen is going to be limiting to performance. So starch isn't always bad, but it can have some issues. If your horse receives too much energy from its diet compared with how much work it's doing, then of course this is going to lead to obesity. And of course, horses don't just get fat from eating sugar and starch. They can also, of course, get fat from too much fat or oil intake. Just to take an opportunity here to clear something up, there's often confusion over what's the difference between fats and oils, and this is really easily explained. Fats and oils are the same thing. Fats are solid at room temperature, whilst oils are liquid. So we also know that large starch meals are a risk factor for gastric ulcers. We know that low sugar starch diets are essential for horses that are affected by PSSM or prone to RER, recurrent exertional rhabdomyolysis, tying up. We know that undigested starch reaching the hindgut is a risk for colic. And we also know that high sugar and starch meals can lead to behavioural problems. So these are important things really to consider when we are thinking about sugar and starch in our horses' diets. So if you are having to think about keeping sugar and starch down, how easy is it for you to spot sources of sugar and starch in feeds or supplements? Come to that. Well, it's not necessarily that easy. In commercial feeds, many companies are reluctant to put the sugar and starch levels on their labels. And it's really nice to see that quite a few companies, including Spillers, Dodson Horrell, Pure Feed, Saracen, there are others, all list sugar and starch content of their feeds on their website. When it comes to pasture, hay and haylages, the species of grass, the soil type, the time of year, the weather, how it's harvested and processed, can all impact on the sugar and starch levels. And the only way really to know is to have it tested, or yourself, or to buy Hey Haylage from suppliers that provide that information. And you can, of course, obtain typical values for forages from articles or published papers, but again, these can be a really long way out. And of course, many owners also soak their hay in order to reduce the sugars, or more correctly, the water-soluble carbohydrate content. But even with soaking, it can be difficult to know how much you are removing, as this depends on how much water-soluble carbohydrate there is at the start, other factors such as the water temperature, and of course how long you soak for. And we have a webinar on this, we have some articles on this on the website which talk about how long you should soak different types of haze for. So how do manufacturers try sometimes to disguise the fact that there is sugar in a product? Well, they sometimes do this by using different names for sugars. Some of the lame names that I'm going to read out in a minute are lame names that you could easily see on a label that you might not necessarily recognise as sugars. So, for example, common ones would be dextrose, fructose, galactose, glucose I'm sure you'd recognise, lactose you probably would recognise, maltose, sucrose, cane juice crystals, cane juice, corn syrup, date syrup, dextrin, diastatic malt, ethyl maltol, maltodextrin, agave nectar or syrup, barley malt, blackstrap molasses, brown rice syrup, caramel, carob syrup, honey, malt syrup, maple syrup, molasses, rice syrup, sorghum syrup and treacle. These could all be ingredients that would be contributing a high amount of sugar to the horse's feed. Fortunately, there are less alternative names for starch. The only ones really are amylum or polymeric carbohydrate or polysaccharide. If a company was using those, they're being very naughty and trying to confuse you. If you see 2R, 3S, 4S, 5R, 6R, 2 hydroxymethyl 6, 2R, 3S, 4R, 5R, 6S, 4,5,6 trihydroxy 2 hydroxymethyl oxan 3Y oxy oxan 3,4 trial, they're really taking the mickey. That is the international chemical ID for starch. As I say, if somebody's putting that on a label, they really, really don't want you to know what's in their feed.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So when it comes to working out the sugar and starch in individual feed materials, that's generally more straightforward. I often use a website called nutritiondata.self.com. This is a site aimed actually at human nutrition, but if you put in, for example, carrots, you will find nutritional information for a lot of products, including fresh, frozen or cooked carrots. It's a very clear website, very easy to use, and you can select, for example, to have the amount, the nutritional information per carrot or per 100 grams of carrot, and you'll be able to see a lot of information, including sort of vitamins, minerals, protein and amino acids, so probably more information than you need. Now, if you search for some common feed materials, some of the results might actually surprise you. For example, crude rice bran is listed as 50% carbohydrate, and one particular commercial rice bran product for horses claims to be low in starch, reducing the reliance on starch in the diet, but actually contains 20% starch and 9% sugar. So that's 29% non-structural carbohydrate. I wouldn't call that low starch. Another way to estimate sugar and starch in your horse's diet is to use software such as FeedXL. We've got some webinars on that. It's very easy to find. FeedXL.com, and that's a good piece of software, and they have some really useful resources there as well. Now, what about polos, apples and carrots, treats that we give our horses? And unfortunately, many owners are told that they can't feed their horses or ponies that are overweight or prone to laminitis or have tying up or EMS treats such as polos, carrots and apples. So let's have a little look at this and see if this makes any sense. Let's start with polos. It's easy to see why polos are a popular treat with horse owners. Horses love them. They're fairly cheap. They're dry and not messy, and it's not a big bulk to carry around, a small tube of polos. Of course, other mints are available. And they don't contain any ingredients likely to cause allergic reactions, and they come in convenient packaging. And it's true, polo mints are loaded with carbohydrates. In fact, every polo mint is 98% carbohydrate, of which 96% is sugar, combination of sucrose and glucose. So does this mean that polos are bad for horses and ponies that are prone to tying up, laminitis, etc.? In principle, yes, but of course the key factor here is how many polos or packs of polos a day you are feeding your horse or pony. So let's break this down and look at the math side of this. One pack of polos contains 1,707 kilojoules of energy, or 1.707 megajoules of energy, and 96 grams of sugar. A single tube weighs 34 grams. Therefore, one tube supplies 1.7 megajoules times 100. Divided by 100 times 34 equals 0.58 megajoules of energy. This equates to around 1/100th of your horse's daily energy intake. So a few polos are not going to make your horse or pony fat. Similarly, one tube will supply around 33 grams of sugar. A pack of polo mints contains 25 mints, I'm reliably informed. So each mint will be the equivalent of 1.3 grams of sugar. To put this in context, if you gave 5 polos, which would be 6.5 grams of sugars, this will have no impact on your horse or pony's blood sugar level. If you fed your horse or pony a whole pack, 33 grams, you might start to get a small effect on blood sugar. And this would potentially start to be a concern. And certainly two or three packs would not be a good idea. But if you are still concerned by the sugar content but want to feed your horse mints, then of course there's an easy answer. Sugar-free mints don't contain sugar. However, many people are also concerned that artificial sweeteners like sorbitol used in sugar-free mints might be harmful to horses. Sorbitol may sound like a synthetic compound, but it's actually found naturally in apples, peaches, pears, plums, dates, to name a few. And if your horse or pony has had a few apples before, they've had sorbitol before. Mints that use xylitol as a sweetener are, however, toxic to dogs. Although horses don't appear to be affected by xylitol, it's not currently recommended to feed horses mints with xylitol in as a sweetener. Let's look next at carrots. An average medium-sized 6 to 7 inch carrot weighs around 100 grams and will provide around 10 grams of carbohydrate, of which 5 grams will be sugar. So again, giving 1 to 2 carrots a day is also not an issue. If you're giving half a bucket of carrots a day, that does start to become an issue. And finally, if we look at apples, a medium-sized apple will weigh around 200 grams and contain around 28 grams of carbohydrate, of which 21 grams is sugar. Therefore, apples should actually be fed sparingly to horses or ponies affected by or prone to laminitis, EMS tying up, PSSM or weight gain. But a quarter of an apple twice a day would provide around 14 grams of carbohydrate, of which 11 grams would be sugar. So what's the bottom line here? A few polo mints a day or a few carrots a day or half an apple a day as a treat is okay for any horse or pony, even if they're obese, prone to laminitis, EMS, PSSM, tying up prone horses and ponies. So the key sort of takeaway here is that the amount of sugar or starch your horse gets is the content or concentration in the feed times the amount you feed. So linseed meal, for example, is typically only 4% starch, so that's 40 grams of starch per kilogram. Oats, on the other hand, are around 50% starch, or 500 grams per kilogram. So feeding 80 grams of oats would have the same starch amount as 1 kilogram of linseed. So it'd be hard to overfeed starch from using linseed as a base feed. And this is one of my go-to feed materials, particularly for problem horses. What about supplements? Well, generally the amounts of sugar and starch in supplements are actually very low. And even if they are mainly sugar, the amount fed per day is still usually very low, you know, maybe 25, 50 grams. However, very few companies seem to want to disclose this information. To date, the only company I'm aware of that does disclose all this information is Science Supplements, and they have a page on their site. I think it's how many calories are in my horse supplements. But there is one supplement ingredient it's worth further discussion in some detail, and that's glucosamine. So the question that often goes around is glucosamine converted to sugar and is it safe? And every now and again, posts start to circulate on social media that glucosamine must not be fed to obese horses or laminitic prone horses, horses with EMS cushions, PSSM tying up, etc. The reason usually given is because glucosamine is converted to sugar. And the rumours are probably circulated, I would guess, by companies selling joint supplements that don't contain glucosamine. They want to put people off buying glucosamine-based joint supplements. So the first point here, common sense. Most joint supplements contain 10 grams or even less of glucosamine per daily feeding rate. Even if all that glucosamine was converted to sugar, that's only 10 grams of sugar. It's not going to do a 500 kilogram horse any harm. It's not going to do a 200 kilogram pony any harm, come to that. And 10 grams of glucose is equivalent to around 67 grams of hay, about a mouthful of hay. Now, this idea about glucosamine and sugar isn't actually that new. It was reported over 100 years ago by James Irvin and Alexander Hind in the Journal of the Chemical Society. So yes, Google glucosamine conversion to glucose or glucosamine and insulin and you'll find some information. Of course, the whole thing about Googling stuff is making the right interpretation, and this is where popular advice being given by horse owners to other horse owners really falls down. So the first point here is that not all glucosamine is converted to sugars. In fact, only a small proportion is actually converted to glucose. Many of the studies suggesting a link between glucosamine and insulin dysregulation are either in isolated cells, use abnormally high doses of glucosamine, or are flawed. So, for example, as FAM and colleagues in 2007 pointed out, glucosamine is widely used as a treatment for osteoarthritis in people, which is a condition associated with both obesity and type 2 diabetes mellitus, insulin insensitivity. Oral administration of large doses of glucosamine in animals has no documented effects on glucose metabolism, and These are quotes from the paper. This is another author. Our critical evaluation indicates that glucosamine is safe under current conditions of use and does not affect glucose metabolism. That was by from a paper by Anderson and colleagues in 2005. And finally, a more recent review by Salazar et al. 2014 concluded evidence supporting diabetogenesis, i.e. insulin dysregulation by glucosamine, remains scarce in humans, and to date the association should be considered only a theoretical possibility. So from this we have to conclude that glucosamine is very safe for horses, even laminitics, obese horses, horses, Cushing's, EMS and PSSM. So how do we sum this up? Well, sugar and starch as such are not really the problem. It's how we feed, how much we feed, and how much we are feeding, whether it's appropriate for what our horse is doing. The interesting thing, of course, is that wild ponies and horses will eat lots of food rich in sugar and starch in the summer months when it's in abundance, and then they will put on a lot of weight, but they will lose that weight through the winter. Much of the time, we want to either keep our horses looking in ideal condition all year round, or have them overweight all year round for some competitions, some activities, or we want to have them thinner in spring, summer and autumn, and carrying, potentially allowed to carry more weight in winter when they're out of work. And all of these scenarios are very different to what happens in the wild. And when it comes to how much we feed, there's an interesting problem here, because a number of studies have shown that horse owners tend to overestimate the level of work their horse is in. So for a horse actually in moderate work, a high proportion of horse owners would select the hard work option. And that means when they're looking at feeds, they will be feeding for hard work, either based on, let's say, grains, such as perhaps using oats, or they will select a feed, commercial feed, for horses in hard work, which isn't going to be appropriate. So, what are the key points here? Sugars and starch play a really important role in the horse's diet. We can't eliminate them completely, but we can obviously reduce the amounts. For high performance horses, a higher intake of sugar and starch is actually likely to optimise performance. How we feed sugar and starch actually creates a lot of issues. Single large feeds rather than multiple smaller feeds, for example. Feeding forage before hard feed also helps reduce the likelihood of problems related to sugar and starch intakes. Many owners unfortunately overestimate how hard their horses are working and therefore don't select appropriate feeds. And many horses don't need high sugar and starch feeds. It can be tricky to find out the starch and sugar in some feeds or forages, and we've discussed in here some of the approaches to doing that. Some manufacturers say that their feeds are low in starch when the levels can be as high as 20%. So look for the actual levels rather than just focusing on that low starch wording. And a few polos, carrots or apples as a treat are fine for all horses and ponies. And finally, glucosamine in joint supplements isn't something you need to worry about. It is not going to put your horse into a laminitic crisis. It's not going to push your PSSM horse into crisis. It's not going to make your horse overweight. I hope you enjoyed that. We have a lot of webinars and articles on the aspects that have been discussed in this podcast, and hope to see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast and the Stable Science series. If you want to learn more about this topic and our work, head over to the drdavidmarlin.com website. Our website and community of members discuss a wide breadth of topics, and the website houses thousands of articles, webinars, videos and research, all designed to help horse owners, riders, trainers and breeders achieve optimal performance for their much-loved horses. The drdavidmarlin.com site is an independent information resource for all equestrians, a source of unbiased, science-based research. To learn more about what we do and the hot topics under discussion, follow us on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter.